Without further ado, our first teller is from Iowa. Her name is Pat Coffey. She is a librarian. She has had a varied amount of experience, including working for NASA, and she has been a storyteller early, but the best thing I read, she is highly regarded and highly recommended by fifth grade boys. What more do you want, Pat?
Well, you know, when I was growing up, I was way too busy to listen to those stories my mother and my aunts and my grandmothers were always telling in the kitchen. But a long time ago, when I was growing up, if you were a girl, you spent some time in that kitchen because we'd have 50 to 100 people at those family reunions in the days before paper plates. I knew something about the stories, but I hadn't really paid attention to my mother's stories until it seemed that within a few months I would be a mother. And so I went back to my mother and I said, "Tell me about the day I was born." And she said, "Well, you know, in 1938, you didn't just go running off to the hospital every 5 minutes. You're supposed to take care of things on your own." So babies were born at home, except this was going to be my first one, and I was really nervous. So I had your sister in the hospital. And when that was over, I said, "Well, if that's all there is to it, I'll just have the rest of them at home." So you were born at home. It was that place we had there on Clark Street by Drake University in Des Moines. And it had an upstairs, and I was upstairs, and your father was on the right, and my cousin Lavona, she was on the left. Now, do you remember Lavona? You wouldn't have called her Lavona, because you were raised at a time when children were expected to show some respect for their elders. So I believe what we worked out is that you kids called her Mama Tony. Now, of course, she didn't do that yet when she was there when you were born, but as I had the other children, she took the older ones and kept them at her house. "You remember Mama Tony?" And I said, "I do remember her. I remember she had us at her house, and she had a big parrot, and it got loose. And I remember seeing her chase that parrot around her house. I do remember Mama Tony." She said, "Well," and then Dr. Bergeson was upstairs there with me. "You remember Dr. Bergeson?" Bergeson and Redfield and Schlazer had just gone into practice together. Bergeson was upstairs with me. Redfield was downstairs in the living room playing the piano, and I don't know where Schlazer was. The only other person there was your grandma Nellie, and she was scared to death. She had all 9 of her children at home, and things went just fine. But someone else always takes that brand new baby and polishes them up a little bit and brings them back to you. You would be the first minutes old infant she would be in charge of, and she was scared to death. She went down, she took that dining room table, she put every leaf there was in it, then she covered the whole thing with bath towels and set that little basin right in the middle. She wanted to be ready in case you flipped over and made a break for it. Meanwhile, Mom said upstairs, "Well, pretty soon there you were," and Dr. Bergeson, he held you up like this. He said, "You know, Gert, I think we're going to say 7 pounds. Mom said, "Okay." So then he took care of the cord and all, and then he gave you to your father, and your father was dumbstruck. Now, he was a farm boy. He'd seen life come into being before, and he already had one baby, but you were the first one of his children he would see draw that very first breath, and he was dumbstruck. Finally, he checked you over a little bit. He said, "Patricia Rose, that's what we'll call her," and he gave you to me. And I said, "Well, all right." And then, of course, Lavona and I, we took that blanket off and we counted toes and fingers and eyes and ears and nose. We did that checkover thing, and you were a kind of a nice little baby. And then we wrapped you back up and gave you back to your father. He took you down to your grandmother, and she polished you up and brought you back. And evidently, you were pretty well behaved. She didn't have any complaints. And I thought, wow, what a story. What an entrance into life and love and family. So I told it to some of my friends. And some of them are storytellers. And one of them said, well, if that story is true, was your father on your mother's right looking down from the head of the bed or up from the foot of the bed? And what was the name of that song that doctor was playing? I went back to my mother. I asked her. She said, your father was holding this hand right here, my right hand on the right. And I don't know the name of that song, but I recall that it had a pretty good beat. It went something like, push, two, three, four, push, two, three, four. And that was that. Now, within a few months, I had my first child, and I remain grateful to this day that he was born in that window of opportunity when you were not expected to take on the responsibility of home birth, and giving birth had not yet become a spectator sport. And as Mom said, pretty soon there he was, and he was just wonderful. He was all pink and rosy and a miracle. And we had a one, he was the first grandchild on both sides of the family. We had a wonderful time. And then when he was 11 months old, he became terribly ill. It was like the flu. And I did what I was told. He hurt so much, he wanted to be held. But he hurt so much, he couldn't stand it. So he just sat on the floor and would weave back and forth. And what I could give him in those days was boiled and re-skimmed skim milk until he could drink 2 ounces at a time. He was 11 months old. We weren't sure we'd get to keep him. But finally, he could stand to stretch out and sleep, and he could keep those 2 ounces down. And so one afternoon, I put him down, and Mom stopped by to check on us. And I said, didn't you say that when I was about this age, I got really sick, and you met my guardian angel? And she said, yeah. She said, you were 10 and a half or 11 months old, and you had the whooping cough and the measles at the same time. And for about a week, we didn't know if we were going to get to keep you. But finally, that fever broke, and that terrible deep cough died down, and I settled you down in your crib to get a little bit of sleep, and I had Susan in her crib, and I went across the hall to see if I could get a few minutes sleep myself. And in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I sat up, and I got up. And I went in there to your crib, and on the far side, in the dark, in the shadows, there was a being so real that I reached out to touch that being. But instead, reached down, picked you up, took 2 fingers down your throat, pulled out that clog of phlegm, got you to breathing again, looked back to see if that being was still there, and it was gone. But I knew right then I wasn't going to have to worry about you so much anymore, because I had just met your guardian angel. And just to be sure, you know, I just said, in the dark, in the shadows, how dark was that being? And she said, no, it was not the angel of death. There was such a good feeling of satisfaction and love. I knew it was your guardian angel. And so, a welcome into love and life and family. Patricia Rose from my father, Patsy Rose from my daddy, life and life again from my mother and a guardian angel. It was a pretty good first year. Thank you.
That fifth grade boy was right.